I'm John Osier here at the 2018 NFL Owners Meetings with a familiar face, Peter King of MMQB. And Peter, here we are again.
I look at this every year, John, and I just say, man, this is 34 years for me. And I really wonder, I look around the press room and I say, man, how many more years for the quote press?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's amazing to me that like newspapers and some magazines still send people here with the changing environment. I wonder how much longer it'll be.
Well, it's funny, when I first met you, you were at the magazine.
Yeah.
And now the magazine, you know, much different than it was.
Yeah.
I was at a newspaper, and we'd have never dreamed that the role would be sitting here and talking on camera to each other.
Yeah.
25 years later.
Yeah.
And it's just an example of how it's changed. League-wide, what are the things you're looking at this week? Anything that you're really passionate about?
No, I think it's going to be, other than the catch rule, I think it's going to be a fairly uneventful week. I do think that there's probably a few storm clouds on the horizon with the national anthem issue, but I don't think that's going to be taken up much here other than in the lobbies with people talking about
right.
it. I think what's interesting about the catch rule, though, is that I don't sense that people in the league are excited about the new rule.
Just doing something, it feels like, right?
Yeah, but I do think that if you designed a system that looked at what should be a catch, there are some plays on the field. I think the competition committee worked backward.
Okay.
And they basically said, we need to have the Jesse James catch be a catch.
Gotcha.
For instance.
How do we have Dez Bryant's catch be
not,
a catch?
Yeah, something. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So they figured out rules. But I'll tell you what I find interesting. I was at that Steelers-Patriots game in mm-hmm. December where the Jesse James play happened. And I remember because I drove to the game from New York, and people would say, oh, my God, that's a long way. It's 5 hours. It really isn't that bad. But anyway, I was on my way home with a couple of people from my staff at the MMQB, and we were talking about it. And I said, you know, it just feels like the wrong team won. You know, that Jesse James makes that catch. He lunges for the goal line, and the ball moves a little bit when he hits the ground. Mm-hmm. It just seemed, to me anyway,
right.
It seemed wrong. And there were a few plays like that where you just say to yourself, you know, there needs to be a better way. And I also think the NFL really tried to micromanage replay too much, and they overturned plays last year that shouldn't have been overturned. So I think the combination of those two things going into 2018 – it's going to make it a better game, but I think people still need to understand we're going to have five plays a year.
Right.
That people are going to say, oh, they got that wrong. That was horrendous. That should have been a catch. That shouldn't have been a catch. Because it's not a perfect science.
Well, and now we'll get to the Jags in a minute. I can remember back in 1975, I was a huge Washington Redskins fan. The Mel Gray play.
Right.
You may remember. And the more I thought about that play in regards to what happened this year, it really does strike you, a moving football, moving men, there will never be a perfect catch rule.
Yeah. I think we are expecting too much because we have, I think at some of the national games, there's 18 or 20 cameras.
Mm-hmm.
There's 6 or 8 replay positions that you could see. And, you know, the bottom line is, sometimes the play is so close, A, you shouldn't overturn it, and sometimes if the ball moves a little bit, it's okay if you say that's a catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have gotten to the point, Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, said, our problem now is that people can see so much
mm-hmm.
that now we try to get every little thing right. And I don't know if you remember this, John, but last year, Buffalo, New England, in New England, mm-hmm. right before halftime,
sure.
Kelvin Benjamin of the Bills caught a ball in the back corner of the end zone, And it was a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I watched on replay 6 or 8 times, and I said, oh, they can't overturn that. It's very close. You can't overturn it. And Al Riveron overturned it. And that, to me, is the crux of the problem in recent years with replay. The officiating department really has tried to play God a little bit too much. So I think this year coming up, I do think they're more on the same page where they say, do not micro-analyze these calls.
Right, which was never the intent of replay to begin with.
That's right, so, that's right.
2017 Jaguars, we really haven't talked to you on camera since the run, since the end of the season.
I'm still as shocked as I was.
and shocked in what way? That they didn't make it in the end? Or
no,
just that
I'm,
the whole thing
well,
played out as it did?
Well, first of all, what an incredibly intriguing story. And I'll tell you this, as I watched the Jaguars down the stretch, John, I found myself feeling really terrible for Gus Bradley.
Okay.
You know, because Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell planted the seeds for what happened last year.
Right.
And you know, I'm glad Dave Caldwell didn't get whacked, you know, the same as Bradley.
So is he.
But yeah, yeah. But here's the point I think I would make. Where the Jaguars went against the grain, because, John, I always have been a person who says, okay, you kind of supplement your team through free agency. The Jaguars rebuilt their team through free agency.
Right.
You know, Calais Campbell and A.J. Bouye and so they so many guys.
Right.
And so I've never been the kind of person who thinks you can construct a team that way. They have really proven me wrong. But I think the biggest thing that they did last year is they said, look, we are going to be a back-to-the-future team. We're gonna rely on the running game.
Okay.
And I think it was a really smart decision. And I think the discipline that Marone and Coughlin brought, as everybody has said, was a huge key for them.
I got into the league in 95, started covering it, so I missed the first couple of years of free agency. But I've made the case on our air. The last 2 years, when you take Malik Jackson, Deshaun Gibson, Bouye, Campbell, and Barry Church, has there been a better two-year period that any team's ever had free agency run in terms of turning a team around? I'm not sure there is.
I would say the only one that would compare, in my opinion, would be the Saints early on in the Loomis Peyton era with getting Drew Brees and some other guys like Scott Fujita, some real franchise-turning players. Plus, a quarterback counts as like three guys, you know.
But that's the rarity of it.
It's extremely rare. Like the Giants the previous year had like a one-year fix with Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon, and all. But the Jaguars really hit on these guys. I'm glad you mentioned Barry Church. I think he's one of the most underrated players, not just in a secondary, but in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years. And I think Malik Jackson does a lot of things that don't show up in the scorecard. You know, he's a really, really good and valuable player doing the dirty work that you don't always recognize. And again, I think the Cardinals, I knew Calais Campbell, I knew the Cardinals personnel. They love Calais Campbell. They just didn't want to pay him $1 jillion.
Right.
And so that was one of those things that the Jaguars got really fortunate that they were getting a guy who still was at his peak and probably had two or three peak years left, and the Jaguars will be the beneficiary of that.
A couple final questions with you. Fans, obviously, the Jaguars struggled for a long time, and then they had the year last year. Do you see what they are as sustainable? Do you think this is the start?
Yeah, because
it's hard to predict.
Because in my opinion, so here's why the Philadelphia Eagles got really good. Obviously, they got good quarterback play, but they had a top five offensive line and they had a top five defensive line. And Andy Reid always said this. He pounded it into the head of Howie Roseman. And after Chip Kelly, Howie Roseman got control of the football operations back, and he started building the team exactly the way he learned from Andy Reid. Doug Marone, Tom Coughlin, exactly the same way. I think the big question for the Jaguars is what do you do at quarterback long term? Because clearly the contract that was given to Blake Bortles is not a long term secure contract. Blake Bortles this year will be singing for his supper. That's not different from last year either. They just sort of delayed it 1 year. And so to me, I think Blake Bortles' development and play this year, I think really is going to tell the tale. I'll tell you one thing last year, thinking back on the Jaguars season. If Stephon Gilmore doesn't make one of the great cornerback plays in NFL history, because somehow he Inspector Gadgeted his arm about 8 feet higher than I thought it could go, And if he doesn't tap that ball away, all of a sudden, in my opinion, I said to everybody, we're looking at Blake Bortles in a different light. And Blake Bortles doesn't get just a kind of a bridge contract, you know, in free agency. It's a nice contract, but I think it's exactly what he deserved. Sure. You're not going to pay Blake Bortles for the next 5 years with all this guaranteed money. He's going to have to prove it again this year.
But without Stephon Gilmore's arm.
Yeah,
maybe they do.
Exactly. And I just think, I think this, that I'm sure that Jaguars fans, and I'm sure Doug Marrone has relived the play calling in the last 2 minutes of the game, last three or 4 minutes, whatever. But I understand why he called the game the way he called it. And I think he called the game the way he called it, John, because he was trying to say, we can win this game, and I know we can win this game, but we need to win it playing a certain way. And maybe you'd like to have a few their way.
Right.
Maybe you'd like to have a few play calls back. I don't blame him, but I think that Bortles, I mean, look, we can say he should have thrown the ball a little bit deeper. Probably should have, but that was a good ball that he threw.
Right.
And Stephon Gilmore, sometimes you just have to give credit to the other team.
Final question, MMQB, how is it going? Are you still enjoying it? I mean, this is, again, a different thing than when we first met what you were doing. How is it? You like it?
Well, it's a really kind of a different world because I wake up in the morning kind of not just thinking of myself anymore. You know, we're used to in this business kind of being independent contractors and doing our own job. And it's been fun. We've had a bunch of really good young people, Jenny Varentis and Robert Klemko, Andy Benoit, Tim Rohan, Connor Orr. We've had a lot of good young people, Albert Breer, sort of cycle through. And what I like about that is it really, it's positive energy. And they think of stories to do that I wouldn't necessarily think of. So I like it. Yeah, it's been 5 years of a lot of fresh air for me.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had been 5 years.
Yeah.
That's a good run in this day and age, Peter.
Yeah, so. it's been fun. It really has, John.
For Peter King, I'm John Osier from the NFL Owners Meetings. Thank you.